Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all as we gather here this morning. And it's a special morning as we meet Atty, who is going to lead us in worship this morning for the first time. We look forward to that, and I'm sure that those of you who were unable to be here last Sunday will want to take the opportunity to have a chat with and welcome Atty over coffee in the hall after the service. All are welcome. I don't know how observant you folks are, but have you had a look at the flowers today? And what have we got in the vases this morning? Proteas, the national flower of South Africa. And thank you to Marlene, who thought about doing that and has done it for us, to welcome Atty. While I'm speaking about Marlene, she asked that if the people who are on the flower rota or those who would like to be could meet with her after the service next Sunday to sort out the rota for the rest of the year. And Alistair has asked me to tell you that the heating is now in good working order. So a round of applause for that, I think. And Alistair Rossiter asked me to draw your attention to the announcement about the Church of Scotland consultation that you'll see in the bulletin. We're all invited to respond by February the 18th. Chris Fett-Worsfold has offered to answer any queries you may have in the meantime. If you have any information about the local public rights of way, which you think might be useful to Innes Community Council in their effort to retain the steps from the Tennant Arms site to Walker's Crescent, please either speak to Sandy, sign the petition in the post office, or attend the meeting of Innes Community Council in Lumbride Hall on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. The choir will now sing the introit, which is "We Will Walk With God, My Brothers," and would the congregation join in with us for the second verse? It's the same as the first.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Psalm 116 reads as follows. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on your name every day. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. God of grace and truth, without you I can do nothing as I ought. Clothe me then with your spirit, that with you and reverence I may lead the worship of your people and worthily proclaim the gospel of your love to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and through the work of your Holy Spirit, we pray this. Amen. I greet you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mercy and peace be unto you. And when we greet someone, it's just polite to greet them back. And therefore, we'll sing our first hymn of praise, the second hymn of praise then, 320, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Let us pray together, worthy of praise from every mouth, of confession from every tongue, of worship from every creature on the earth, is your glorious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever. You created the world in your grace, and by your compassion you redeemed it. Heaven and earth are full of your praises. Glory be to you, O God Most High. Hear us when we pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Are there any children in the service this morning? Well, then I'll need to think on my feet. Now I'm flat. The World Health Organization does define youth these days, I think ever since 2015. I'm really thinking on my feet now. So they do define a youth being from age 18 till 65 these days. So below 18, it's called underage. I think it's only above 90, which is called elderly these days, or... So yes, so we're all youth, and then I'll do the same practice as I would this morning with the children. I thought if we had little or small children, the question might be a little bit difficult to grasp, but if I would ask this morning in plain old good-fashioned English, if you could define the word sin, but now you need to think like a child, please don't give me an adult answer. If I ask you, what is sin? What would be a basic answer from a child or a kid this morning? Being naughty, I thought the same. Being naughty, yes. Or doing wrong, being disobedient to a teacher or even at home, yes. But
if we think of sin, I would say, and maybe you would agree with me, sin is much more than just being naughty or doing the wrong thing. Sin is actually disturbing the relationship with God and his intention for us. And that's the next question. So what does sin do? Sin disturbs the fellowship and the connection. And as we know it, the covenant that we have with God, the friendship with God. And I would, this morning, would explain to the children that if I have a friend, I need to chat with them, I need to speak with them, I need to talk with them, I need to share my life with a friend. And sin would, well, that's my definition for sin this morning for children, is if that friendship becomes disturbed. If everything only goes about myself and my way, and we like that in life. It's not only children, but we'd like to do things our way. We play the game by my rules, and I will hide where I want to hide, and I will count as long as I want to count, and in the end, you end up lonely. Is it not true? I mean, just think of children. And the same with us in our lives. If it's only our way, we get up lonely. And even loneliness with God, if it's only our way and not our intention or God's intention for our lives. I think that is, in the language of children, a definition of what sin does. It removes us from God. And then I would say that every one of us, I just told you, every one of us would have the word guilty written all over our lives. And where's my pencil? Let me just... or the marker, let me just write that. And so that would be our conviction, even though we don't like it. And in the end, but luckily, as Christians, Christ comes and Christ says, yes, but I can define this guilt and take it upon myself. I will come and take away the type of loneliness which you brought on yourself, and I will take the sin unto myself. And therefore, if we believe in Christ, he's the one that forgives us, even for the silly things. I mean, just think of the past week. I don't know how your relationships was. I was quite overwhelmed about all the visits and things. Thank you for everyone. Again, thank you. Many thanks for that. But sometimes we say something that could hurt someone. We think something that's not good. And then Christ said, if you believe, if you trust me through my love, I would really forgive you for that. And he died on the cross, we know that, to forgive our sins. I thought it quite good. If you turn the cross, it's like just saying, okay, let's take away the guilt. It's not a question mark, it's removing guilt from us. And you know, the great thing is that Christ forgives us. But sometimes we struggle to forgive ourselves. Is that not true? Yeah, we tend to be lonely for our own guilt. And I'll just do a short prayer for us and thank God for saving us. Jesus, thank you that you know us. Although we are all grown up this morning in the church building, we are still children. Some are taller, some are wider, some are thinner, but we are your children and you love us. Thank you for that. And thank you that even the biggest guilt or guilt trips we may ponder on, you are willing to take it and you wipe it away. And therefore I pray that you will work through your Holy Spirit in us to set us free, to give us new thoughts, and to invite you as our lifelong friend into our homes, into our lives, to open our doors of our hearts and also invite other friends and neighbors and even strangers to be part of your grace and mercy. And when we feel alone, not only physically but due to our debts and sins, we ask you, speak unto us with your Spirit and put us in the right relationship with you. Guide us this week that are coming. Help us with the right words, the right ways, according to you as our friend. We pray this in your name, Jesus, through the work of your Spirit. Amen. Let us thank the Lord in the next hymn, Jesus Loves Me, Yes, I Know. For the Bible tells me so. And when we have friends, we converse with our friends, we chat to them, and therefore we can chat and speak to God anytime, and that's prayer. So let's speak to God also in the next hymn.
The reading today is from John 13. Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and we're reading from verses 13 to 17. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Thanks be to God.
Let us sing praise hymn 755, Be Still and Know That I Am God.
Thank you.
friends in Christ, as I was recently reading this passage of scripture from John chapter 13, I was reminded of a Roman Catholic priest called Father Pausch. And he once conducted a worship service that, in his own words, moved me deeply and still moves me. It was Holy Communion, and present in the church was a group of youngsters and boys from the adjacent abbey. Now that Sunday, there was, as usual in the Roman Catholic Church, a foot washing preparation for the ceremony, partaking in the Holy Communion the day. Father Pausch, being the liturgist, invited the boys to sit on the steps in the liturgical space in front with a small basin of water in the one hand and having a towel, obviously, in the other hand. And then he started at the end of the row washing the boys' feet. And when he reached the last little boy, something strange happened. He saw that the little boy still had his socks on. And just before he got to the boy, the little boy urgently whispered to him, "Father Pausch, don't only wash my feet, wash my socks as well." So Father Pausch decided that this was not the time to differ from the boy on this, and because he was not the type of person to be intimidated by dirty socks, he washed the best of his ability the boy's socks together with his feet. When he had finished, the boy took their seats, all of the boys, except this one little boy with the wet socks. This little boy slipped out the back door of the church, leaving a trail of wet sock prints all the way down the aisle of the church. Now, Priest Pausch went looking for this boy after the service and found him in his room, where he laid curled up and with the wet socks still on, sobbing. And the priest took off his wet socks and he dried his feet and then asked the boy what the matter was. And while sobbing, he replied something like the following: "Father, what happened in church got so under my skin. When you poured the water out and onto my feet with the socks on, I thought it impossible that God could love me. I wanted to keep my socks on so that you nor God could touch me, because I feared that God could not love me. And although I didn't tell this to anybody else, but the water got through my socks and under my skin. My thinly woven resistance could not keep God's love out or away from my skin." A little Peter, we would call him, but are we not all like this little boy? Do we not all long to be touched by the grace of God, but at the same time suffer from the same tendencies, from the same built-in mechanism that wants to keep the Lord away from our bodies and away from coming under our skins? Sometimes we even turn our backs onto grace. We send up smoke signals, we build walls, and yes, we pull on socks of all sorts in life. In fact, it's not exactly what the value system of Christians dictate, but the value system of what the world dictates unto us. To remain in control, to regulate and to rule, to keep a grip on things, just as I had in the children's time, we want to be in control. To not allow anybody to come too close to us, but I must mention that, Lambride, you are fairly friendly and open people, which I value. But after all, in the world, there is no room for weak and vulnerable people, for breakable and broken people. You don't need anyone in this world. You are an island. Is it not Dolly Parton singing, "Islands in the stream, that is what we are"? Is it Dolly? Huh? Or who sang it? Yes, I think it's Dolly. It's one of those old-fashioned songs from South Africa as well. Yes. We are an island. You are immovable, rock, independent, strong, not weak at all, you don't show it, a pillar of strength, unbreakable and unshakable. That's what the world dictates. We are not the first with these inclinations. That was Peter's question to Jesus in John 13. And a statement, his statement is actually typically human and also typical of a religion of all religions over the world, that would rather operate with power than with servitude. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Because in this world, we don't dare others to even touch our feet. We would wash our own feet. No, you shall never wash my feet. At first, hearing Peter's comment seems to be quite in order. I mean, it probably speaks of great respect unto Jesus. Is it not that Peter found fault with the concept of foot washing? After all, we know the common practice of those times, people would travel on dusty roads, dirt roads, they would have open sandals, and when you would step over the doorstep, the first thing of a good guest would be to invite you that a slave would wash your feet, your dirty feet. And usually it would be a heathen slave, one of the lowest class conceivable. But in this context, Jesus? Surely something is wrong with this picture being painted before our eyes of God actually kneeling in our midst to serve us. To serve us. Surely someone is pulling the wool over our eyes. For was it not this Jesus who traveled throughout the country and revealed his omnipotence over devils, death, illness? Did crowds not throng to hear this great preacher of all times? Was not only a single powerful word needed for him to calm stormy seas, to let paralyzed walk again, and blind could see, dead arose, this Jesus? Was it not this Jesus who rode into Jerusalem while children called out before him, Hosanna to the Son of David? Blessed be him, the Lord. And then they called out, King of Israel. King of Israel. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Peter's question reveals a basic misunderstanding, a fundamentally flawed picture that we often have with regards to the Lord and to whom we are as church. We believe that strength and servitude are usually contrary to each other, that honor and humility excludes each other. In fact, we argue most of the times as follows. The more one serves, the less strength one will have to do your thing, and the other way around. The more humility, the less honor and respect, and vice versa. We do not understand Jesus' strange glory. Because you see, it is a humble glory and a glorious humility. It is the glory of the one who said, I did not come to be served, but I'm here to serve. I'm here to give my life for many. And like a golden thread, this strange paradox runs through the New Testament, and especially in John chapter 13. In John, Jesus is addressed as Lord and as teacher, or as Son of Man, no less than 11 times, which says a lot. The Greek word, and you all know this obviously, the Greek word for Lord is Kyrios. And in this name, it's something about power, an expression of omnipotence. And teacher in this chapter would indicate someone highly regarded in society. We would say today it would be like a professor at a university. When we hear the term Son of Man, the term, it's a theme from the Old Testament that indicates that Jesus is the Messiah and his eternal sovereignty, his ruling over all nations, is present. But how do we find this Kyrios, this Lord, this professor, teacher, and Son of Man? How do we find him portrayed in John chapter 30? We see him kneeling. In the kneeling posture of a servant, with a basin of water in the one hand and a towel in the other. Yes, this is the picture. The Kyrios, wearing an apron. This is an apron I got from a friend in South Africa. Who of you wear aprons in the kitchen? I do, yes. When you see an apron, you can think of John chapter 13 again. This is about the Kyrios wearing an apron. You would never expect that from this master of the universe. Kyrios, is it not? This Kyrios, who is a servant. The servant who is the Kyrios, the Lord. This Kyrios picture is also a depiction of the church in the world, of us, and therefore of our preaching, of our theology, of our witnessing. Because that is where and who we are. Herein is the essence of our being and our ethos. We are people whose feet were washed, and were washed in such a manner that we can also wash the feet of those around us. We become a picture for, and dare I say, of the Kyrios, Kyrios, with the apron on in a fragmented world. For it is this Kyrios, Kyrios, who said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, go and also wash the feet of others. I've set an example, you go do the same." Are you part of the theology of the apron? Because if we are Christians, we are. If we draw any other picture or emulate any other posture, it could be called betrayal. It would be the picture and the posture of Judas. Not bowing down to wash feet, no, but rather dipping the bread in the bowl with Jesus. Maybe in search of self-righteousness or power. And therefore the primary question there is not how impressive our organization, how functional our structures are, or how finely formulated our confessions of faith, how orthodox our theology or our writings, or our homiletic, which is just a good word for the art of preaching, is. The vital question is, and this is the question of John 13, can we kneel? Can we kneel? Can we kneel before God? And can we kneel before our neighbors and fellow human beings? Do we see and embody this picture of posture? Do we understand something of the theology of the apron? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you and me and many others. Jesus served. He washed our feet until he had no more hands or arms left. His servitude cost him his life. It cost him his body. In the Bode Museum in Berlin, you would find this Christ-like figure that Margaret, and in the front on the table as well, you come across this figure of Christ. It's deformed by wear and tear, and you can have a look if it's close to you, or if you see it in front. It's deformed by wear and tear over the years, and maybe intentionally sculptured like this. The left arm broken off here at the shoulder, the right forearm and hand missing. You can see scars and scratches all over it. The legs are broken off. All over the body, it's wounded and scarred. And when you sit long enough and watch this, and I know we're not Roman Catholic, I know that. I know we are Protestant and Reformed and Presbyterian, and I like that. But if you sit a while in front of this and you take it in, it really moves you deeply. It still moves me. Because it's a picture of God in a fragmented world. No. Rather, it's a picture of God being fragmented in our worlds every day. be careful. Being a foot washer is a dangerous job. It could cost you an arm and a leg, but you will be blessed out of your socks. Amen. God our Father, continue with us, your family, as blessed ones, and guard us with watchful tenderness. By your mercy, we have received your salvation and your grace. Help us to also accept this daily. Work with your Spirit through our hearts and around us. By your protection, may we retain it until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord and the works of your Spirit. Amen. Offering. Thank you. Guide us, Lord, in all the changes of life, that we may neither complain in adversity nor boast in prosperity, but with faith, hope, and love may follow your divine will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and your Holy Spirit, which guides us. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as we pray we continue to have patience and perseverance. Lord, you answer our prayers, not always when we feel we need them answered, but when the time is right for you. For more than 3 years, we prayed you would bring us a minister to lead us. Again, in your time, the time that was right, you brought us Ati. Dear Lord, we pray for those who are struggling, meeting each day, living with pain, sadness, discomfort, and loss. For those with no sense of hope, faith, or future, Lord, we ask that you are with them, that you give them comfort, their hope and solace when things are hard. Lord, we pray for those daily living with fear from conflict, war, oppression throughout the world, particularly the people of Syria and Yemen. Lord, we ask that you guide the leaders of the nations of the world to do all they can to make change and bring about peace. Lord, we ask that when they look to you, when making their decisions with peace and love in their minds. Lord, as we look to the future of our church, may we hear the sounds of children laughing and making their own wee noises in the church. May we be blessed with the company of many, sharing grace, joy, and laughter with each other, within and out with the church. Let us not forget, Lord, the church is just a building of four walls, but the people sharing your word and your praise are the church, your church. Lord God, may we share these blessings with everyone we meet in our daily lives, not only by our words and prayers, but also by our actions. Lord, as we go about our daily lives, walk with us, be our guide in all that we do and say, and ask for forgiveness when we get things wrong, as we often do. Lord God, we give thanks for your word, your work, and your blessings, the blessings we experience daily, sometimes though, we may not recognize them. May our hearts be open and take great joy in your words, and may we grow in them. In this we pray, Lord God. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 356, but I want to say, we don't need to say it's a closing hymn because life is a hymn. It's just our last theme for this morning. So may we be in the service of our Lord and singing his praises for his grace. Thank you for everyone, the choir, and thank you, Evelyn, this morning. Let's stand and sing Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity. The Lord will set out before you to prepare the road ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. The Lord will be beneath you to lift you up the day that you might fall or stumble. The Lord will be above you to bless you. The Lord will dwell within you so that you may live by his grace and love. Amen.